What are we doing today? What are we doing today? Today we are celebrating. We're celebrating all that God has done. And because we're celebrating all that God has done, that's the reason why, kids, there's no children's worship today, because there's some important things that people are going to say that you need to hear too. And they're going to tell stories about what God's done in their lives. And I want you to listen really carefully. And when we're done, some of you got some noisemakers. Let's make some noise when they're done. Let's really celebrate. We're Reformed folk. We get awe and reverence great. We don't always celebrate well. We can do that though today. We can do that. There's a lot of visuals today. There's a lot of signs. There's going to be some people coming up to tell how Jesus is the hero of their lives today. And as they do, you may be wondering, why do we have the baptismal here? Why does Pastor Mike holding this bowl from the baptismal over there? Why do we have so many baptismals? The waters of baptism are a sign and a seal to us of God's covenant promise of grace. The waters of baptism sprinkle us clean in Christ. Not because they wash us outwardly, not because we get the dirt and the grime off our hands, but because inwardly the Spirit cleanses us of all sin. All that is promised here. All of that is promised here. And what this says, there's so many great theological and biblical realities that surround baptism, and I want to talk to you about them all, but we just don't have enough time. So I'm just going to boil it down. This is a sign to you, a visual aid to you, so that you know God is the hero of your story. God is the hero of your story. He is the one who sent Jesus before you had a breath of air, before you could speak. He sent Jesus to die for you. He rose him up so that you could live. He did all this because he loved you. And I mean you. He had you in mind. Baptism is God's promise. It's God's sign of that. We call it also a seal. It's God's guarantee of that his promise is true. And when people get up here and they share their professions of faith this morning, we have some folks at all different stages of their walks with Jesus, professing their faith. We want to connect this promise to those professions, because those lives lived out before God, they start here with God's promise that he will be gracious, that he will forgive in you in Christ, that he has adopted us in Christ, that he has washed us clean in Christ. All those who come to Christ. The Apostle Peter, in his first sermon ever, he ended it by telling everybody to believe and be baptized. And he said, for this promise, the promise of God is for you and for your children and for those who are far off. All those that the Lord calls to him. All those who the Lord calls to him, he is sure to come and cleanse and transform our lives. My friends, Jesus, we have this water before us today because Jesus is living water. And he changes everything. He changes everything. I'm going to invite Betty De La Rosa up first. Betty is rejoining the church today and has a story of God's goodness that we all need to hear. So, Betty, why don't you come on up?
I've been thinking about this testimony for several weeks now and didn't know what to say. And for those of you that know me, know I very seldom don't know what to say. I woke up this morning and God revealed that this is about Him. It's not about me. It's not about what's happened in my life. It is about what He is doing in my heart. Tony and I came here 5 years ago, almost to this time. We left 3 years ago, about, and there was a lot of hurt and a lot of pain and a lot of anger in my heart. But from the day I arrived here, originally, I felt love, especially from the women of the Tuesday night Bible study group and the Wednesday morning women's ministry. I was accepted as a woman, as a believer, as a lover of God, and not as a pastor's wife. I could be my own person. And that was so important to me. And I think that's part of the reason it hurt so bad when we left. I couldn't totally let go of that. And I would come back on Wednesday mornings. And I would come back on Tuesday nights for a while. Last year, God just really put it on my heart that I had to come back as a member, as a participant in the whole aspect of the church, not just on Tuesdays and Wednesdays. And I have been resisting becoming a member because of denominational problems. And God has made it clear that this is about this church, about these believers, about what He's doing in this community of faith, not about what's happening in the international and national level of the denomination. So last month, it became clear that I needed to be a member again. And in this past year, He has given me the ability to totally let go of that pain, to feel the peace, the joy, the love that is very evident in this congregation. 5 years ago, during a prayer time, we prayed that the Lord would blow open the doors of this congregation and release the power of His Spirit into the lives and ministry of each and every person. He's doing that. It is happening. That's not just a platitude. He is truly changing the lives and the atmosphere of this congregation. And you are so blessed. I am so blessed to be able to see it and to know it's Him, not us. Thank you.
Hand here in the water with me. This water of baptism is a sign that God has promised these. If while we were enemies, God reconciled us through the death of His Son, much more being reconciled will we be saved by His life. Mm-hmm. And you have that hope today. And your testimony is a proclamation to everybody who's here that Jesus is Lord.
Amen.
That He is the Son of God, and He reconciles, and He heals. I am so overwhelmingly grateful to hear your testimony today.
Thank you, Lord.
It started here. It started here with Jesus. It ends with Jesus. And he really is the hero.
Yes.
Amen.
Thank you.
All right. Thanks, Patty. Mm-hmm. All right. All right. Next, I'd like to ask Joyce to come up. You all know Joyce? And if you don't, you will.
We've been singing about Jesus. And I knew about that man all my life, from the time I was born. Born into a Christian home. My grandparents were missionaries to India. All through my childhood and teenage years, I was a regular visitor to the altar whenever there was a revival because I was seeking salvation. I was never quite sure I had it. I was the good girl in the family, though, so that made it okay. My brother was the trouble finder. And I could honestly say, and I heard the verse often, Psalm 16:6, the lines have fallen to me in pleasant places. Indeed, I have a beautiful inheritance. But always, it was kind of about me. It wasn't about God. It wasn't really about Jesus. I knew all that, but something was missing in my heart. And when my parents divorced around the time I went to college, I decided that Christianity really wasn't all it was cut out to be, even at a Christian college. And I also discovered that lightning doesn't strike when you don't go to Sunday school or to church. That was a freedom for me, so I stopped. I met Paul there at college, and we married after my sophomore year. We quit school, both of us, and we wandered spiritually for a number of years, pretending when mom and dad, either of them, were around, but really, we didn't care anything about God. And then one day, my hero entered my life again. I'm sorry. It was through a total chance. My mother was at church with me, and that's the only time I went. But this preacher, who I couldn't stand his style, and his delivery was just, he was just a total random person at that church because the regular pastor had been sick. But he preached some kind of a message, and I don't know what it was, but he gave an altar call at the end, and Jesus was literally, as much as I could feel him, sitting on my shoulder and talking in my ear, saying, okay, when are you going to get off the fence? When are you going to quit pretending? You got to do that today or else. You know, that's what I heard. And so I had to face the truth that I was a sinner, that I needed salvation, and I had to accept that Jesus was the only way. And I did. Phew, praise God. Then I had to go home and tell Paul what I had done, because he wasn't there yet. But praise God, he came to that place another 4 years later. And fast forward now, a whole bunch of things have happened since then, through nearly 40 years of service in church and missions. Many, 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 many times, Jesus, as my hero, has stepped in with his grace, his goodness, saving me from myself, from my pride, from my critical spirit, from laziness, in keeping in connection with him, from my lack of integrity. I was his, for sure. I knew that, but I was not perfect. Far, far from it. And I tended to lean more on Paul than on the Lord sometimes, way too much of the time. Paul's steady faithfulness that you all knew brought us into many amazing places, gave us roles and relationships that were just beyond ourselves. And it was, again, a blessed life, pleasant places, but way too much of myself. Even after Paul's diagnosis of leukemia came, I was still way much more dependent on myself and on him than on the Lord. So, come last July, no, son, I need the tissue, I found myself on my own. I didn't have Paul anymore. Lonely, feeling totally inadequate and unable to focus, desperately needy. But today, with my heart full of joy and thanksgiving, I can say that my hero, the Lord Jesus, is rescuing me from anxiety, from despair, from anger, from depression, most of the time, from selfishness, from fear. He's rescuing me from those things through his word. Sometimes it's been through you, dear church family. You've been just my rock. You've been his voice, his hands, his feet so many times these last months that I can't even express it. Probably haven't said thank you nearly enough. Other people have come in there as well, and books, other books that have been most helpful, but most importantly, he keeps reminding me, that hero of mine still sits on my shoulder, reminding me to be truly living in his book, the Word. Often it's through a little daily devotional book of just scriptures that Paul and I had been working through all of last year, The Living Light, if any of you are familiar with that. And he's led me time and again to just the verses that I needed that day. I'll just read a few of them. Psalm 52:8, I trust in the steadfast love of the Lord forever and ever. And I realize that today, this very day, is part of forever. It's not just there. Isaiah 41:10, familiar to many of us. Fear not, for I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. I can feel the Lord's hand upholding me. Psalm 40:17, I am poor and needy, yet the Lord is thinking about me right now. That's exciting. Jeremiah 29:11, I know the plans I have for you, plans for good, not for evil, plans to give you a future and a hope. So, at this point in my life, I'm trusting my hero, the Lord Jesus, to continue showing me his path ahead. Where do I belong? Sometimes I'm not sure. What should I be doing? I don't really know. What's the right decision in whatever? All kinds of things have come up that I don't know what the right thing is. So it's becoming for me a daily remembering that it's not about me. It's about him. I know he's not going to fail to speak. It's just mine to be listening. On the last day of last year, 2019, he led me to a verse that has become my goal for this year ahead and probably the rest of my life. Philippians 3:12, from the Living Bible, a little different from how I had learned it growing up. Paul says, and I say, I haven't learned all I should even yet, but I keep working toward that day when I will finally be all that Christ saved me to be and wants me to become. Praise his name. Thanks for praying for me.
Baptism. Where God's promise that we're on you before any of this happened. Mm-hmm. And they still shout that promise. And I have, as I've been thinking about you, I want to proclaim this word from Ephesians over you. God chose you in Christ before the foundation of the world. In love, he predestined you for adoption to himself as a daughter of Jesus through Jesus Christ, according to the purpose of his will, to the praise of his glorious grace. And in Jesus alone, you have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of your trespasses, according to the riches of his grace, which he lavished upon you. Joyce, thank you. Thank you for your testimony. Your testimony is a sign here that God's promise is true, and that Jesus is the Son of God.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. All right. Thank you. Yeah. No kidding. No kidding. All right. We've got one more. I want to invite Don Wood to come up. My brother, Don. Come on up and share the word with us, brother.
Good morning. And I am Don. And I'm 69 years old. And so what? Well, there's a popular adage that the older people get, the more they reach out to religion, so they may be accepted into heaven at the end of their life. Well, that wasn't me, because I had been baptized, I had been confirmed, and I was a decent Christian, but I didn't have Jesus Christ. And then I'm not sure when I came to the point where I was floundering day after day with no real happiness, regrets, disappointments, and loneliness were polluting my life. I had put my identity, my personal worth, and even my faith in things and people who were now gone. I recognized my situation. I really wanted to change, but I just couldn't make it happen by myself. Then one weekend, two dear friends of mine called me and asked if I wanted to join them at their church on Sunday. And I said yes, which was surprising to me. For some reason, I was eager to hear what their pastor might say. Well, I was immediately introduced to our Lord Jesus, the true Christ, and it was a very personal introduction. I was changed. The next Sunday was specifics about Jesus' teachings, his promises, his blessings, and of course, death and resurrection. Next came how true faith and trust in the Lord Jesus is the only path to forgiveness. Jesus had wiped clean all my transgressions and sins, all of them. As you all know, each Sunday, this book right here brings us to know the Lord Jesus, the God Almighty, and his Spirit which works within us. I treasure this book. It was a gift to me. Well, now at 69, I've been truly blessed and saved by our Lord Jesus Christ. It's not a cliche. I have a whole new life before me. Putting Jesus in my mind and firmly in my heart, love, acceptance, and salvation all become real and permanent. Yes, Jesus is my hero. He is forever. He clears away all my human baggage and clutter. Yes, he even forgives my insufficient faith, which is in itself a sin, and opens the way for my redemption, all to the delight of God the Father. I am truly humbled this is all happening to me. I pray for the strength, guidance, and faith to follow Jesus Christ as my Savior. I want the infinite grace of God to define my life always. If my closing sounds a little like a prayer for the future, it is. Amen. Amen. Amen.
Come here. Before you could ever speak a word, God's promise of baptism, put your hand in there with me. God's promise of baptism was placed on you before you could even speak a word. And today, you declare to everyone here that God's promise has been joined to faith. And so I get to declare to you, my friend, that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God, and by believing in him, you have life in his name. You are crucified with Christ, and you are risen with him. Praise be to God. Praise be to God. God's promise is true. 69 years old. We're not going to say how old Betty and Joyce are. God's promise is true, and he always comes through. That is the promise of baptism. That's why we're doing this today.